study about those cities of refuge in the Bible. I believe there were six of them, Brother Charles. Is that right? And the people who ran to those cities of refuge, what it was a safe haven. The people running into those cities were guilty. But they made a place where they could find asylum. I'm glad when I was guilty, God made a place that I could run to, amen? How guilty I was, but I found shelter in the blood, amen? I'm still a sinner, I'm just one covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you the story and I'll preach, and these folks can take as long as they want in the altar. I remember hearing a story about a farmer who raised sheep. And one of his lambs, she was a ewe lamb, that meant the mother lamb. She had a little lamb, and she died in birth. And they tried to take that little lamb and give it to another sheep to nurse it, and that other sheep wouldn't have anything to do with it. Well, she had two lambs. One of the lambs died, and she died. She had twins. And what they decided to do, the farmer went and cut the skin, the hide, off of that dead little lamb, and he wrapped it around that alive little lamb. And they put it back in there with that other mother, and they said she got over and started smelling of it. As soon as she smelled herself, though that other little lamb was hers that died, and she smelled herself on that lamb, she took it and raised it like it was her own. You see, that's what God does when He sees me. It's not my righteousness, it's not my goodness, it's the blood of His own darling Son. Amen. It causes Him to love me. I messed that story all up, but you get to understanding there. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 3 tonight. As I read the text, you're going to think I'm going to preach on something that I'm not. And I may mention it just because it's the basis of the Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 3. Say amen when you're there. I didn't say Hebrews, did I? I meant James. Keep going. You'll get there. James chapter number 3. I don't know why y'all turned to Hebrews. I'm tired, man. It's been a long week. Hebrews. I did again. James chapter number. I'm going to have to let somebody else preach, I think. Yeah. James chapter number 3. We'll get this thing straight. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. James chapter number 3. I want us to look at verse number 5. The Bible said, even so the tongue is a, say the word with me, a little member. Now think about it just for a second. Compare your tongue to your leg. Now, I've met some Christians, I think the tongue may be longer. One lady came when old Brother Jack Wood was preaching one time down in Houston, Texas, and she said, "Preacher, the Lord convicted me tonight about my tongue. I'd like to just lay it on the altar." He said, "Sis, we haven't the room." the tongue, he said, is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I want to look at that one word out of that verse tonight, little. Little. Now, the tongue is a little thing, but it can do great things. It can cause great harm, or it can give great help. Amen. Now, I could have walked in the hospital with my friend today, and I could have said, "Now, bless God, if you'd been in church like you ought to be, and blah, 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 maybe you wouldn't be up here sick." You know what? That's just wrong. Somebody help me. I need some help tonight. That's just wrong. You know, most time when people are doing wrong, they know it. I know sometimes we ought to rebuke a friend, and there's a time and a place for that. But it's just been wrong to go in there with him laid up in the hospital and start railing on him. Yeah, right. We walked in, he started railing on Stacy. Hey, man, that was pretty good. But we had a good time. We just went in there and loved him a little bit. Our tongues could have helped him, or our tongues could have hurt him. We ought to remember, before we open our mouth, we should think. What would I like to hear from my friend or someone at church when I'm in that situation? What would encourage me on Facebook? Yeah. Think about those things before you type. Yeah. Think about those things before you speak. Amen. My grandmother used to say, and I believe it's good advice, if you can't say nothing good, don't say anything at all. We're prone to complain. Hey, our church isn't perfect, but don't talk about it in front of your kids.
Amen.
Amen. Right, let me say it again. Don't talk about it in front of your kids. You're not hurting you. You're hurting them. You want your children to love church. You ought to want your children to love your preacher. Amen. You ought to want them to love their Sunday school teacher. Little girl told me in the hall one day, we had Sunday school promotion. This has been years ago, not long after we had moved to this property. And she was going in to my mother's class or somebody's class. And I said, I thought you moved up. She said, no, my mama said that other lady's an idiot and I can't go in there. Kid didn't do anything wrong. She just repeating what she heard her mother say. Amen. We ought to watch our mouths. And our children are hearing more than you think they're hearing. I'll tell you another illustration about the tongue before we get into the message. And I'm not preaching on the tongue tonight. I'm preaching on little things that matter. We heard a great message up in North Carolina this week on windows. Brother Tim Fallure got up in the leadership meeting and he preached on windows. And he'd come out of Ecclesiastes talking about the little foxes that spoil the vine. He was talking about little things. He told about a city that had an ordinance that was going to go through and patch all the broken windows in the big city. And when they did, the crime rate went down. In other words, when they started making the place look better, people started acting better. Little things make a difference. Amen. Little things make a difference. You need to understand that. Several years ago in school, when we had our Christian school here, I was sitting in my office one day, and it may have been Miss Linda, one of the elementary lower age children teachers, come bringing a little boy to me, and she said, he needs paddling. I said, what for? And I hate paddling them little guys. I mean, he's second grade, man. I didn't want to whoop him. And she said, he needs a paddling. I said, why? She said, he's cussing. I said, well, what did he say? She said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, son, what'd you say? He said, to the little girl in the class, she said, she kicked me in my leg, and I called her it was bad. I said, you did? He said, yeah. I said, why'd you call her that? He said, that's what daddy calls mama when he gets mad at her. Told the teacher, go on back to class and take him with you. Now, I talked to him for a little minute and told him that was an ugly word, blah, blah, blah. We're supposed to call the parents when we discipline the child. I didn't do anything to the little boy, but I called the daddy. Amen. I knew him. I said, they brought your son in here for paddling. He said, what did he do? I said, he called a little girl up. I told him. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, where would he hear something like that? I said, well, what he told me was that what you call Sister So-and-so when you get mad. There was silence. I said, reason for my call, should have paddled him or you. Our kids hear more than we think. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Amen. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Sometimes you ever have to bite it? I said I ain't preaching about the tongue, but it looks like I'm going that way, don't you? You ever had to just bite that tongue and go, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Somebody said, well, I'm just who I am, and if it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. No, it don't. I bet you don't cuss in front of your grandmother. You can't control your mouth. Well, I just say what I think. You're lying through your teeth. You hadn't told your husband everything you thought about him. You sure ain't told your wife everything you thought about her.
Amen.
You lying through your teeth. Tell me I say what I think. No, you don't. None of us do. We all right? Little things that make the difference. Little things that matter. This morning in our message, we got down, was talking about responding to worship, and we talked about our responsibility. our responsibility. You understand? How many of you saved? Hold up your hand. On your way to heaven when you die, ain't no question about it. You have a responsibility.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now understand this. Some of our responsibilities in our mind is bigger than the responsibilities in others. I've made this statement. People come in my office complaining, I thought, man, I wish you had my job. I wonder if they've ever thought the same thing. What I'm trying to say is that what you do for the Lord, although it may not be as large as we think as what I'm doing, it's just as important. Are you listening? David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper down at the church than to live in the tents of the wicked. He said, I'd just rather have a part. Now listen, if you don't know what your part is, you need to be finding out. And it ain't got to be some big, huge thing. Old Brother James, man, broke my heart. He called and left me a message while we was at the hospital, and I listened to it a while ago. Barely could hear his voice. Brother James, the old fella that'll talk you to death that sits right here on the front row. Love him with all my heart. Brother James, special fella. He keeps this place spotless. Don't ask for nothing. Don't ask for no help. Him and his son, they come up here and just work and work and work and work. Called me on the phone, left me a message, said, preacher, he's got cancer in his throat. I'm worried about it. He said, I ain't going to be able to be there. I want to be, but I can't. I appreciate people who, they don't care if you don't praise them from the pulpit. They just got a little job to do and they do it. Amen. Some of us need to find our little job and get after it, whatever it may be. Hey, I don't care if you've been coming a week or a year or 10 years. Hey, if you're saved, there is a place for you in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Would you agree? There's a job. There's something you can do. There's something. You may not be grounded enough in the Bible to teach an adult Sunday school class. You can give out candy to kids on Halloween. Amen. You can come on Tuesday night and get on that bus whack crowd. Hey, wait, I need somebody to take my place Tuesday night. I'm not going to be here. We need more to show up. Some of y'all, you've never been visiting in your life. You're a little timid about it. You're a little shy about it. Can I make you a promise? You won't have to open your mouth. Sister Lauren went with me and Angie week four last, I believe. And we just all three partnered up. We had odd numbers, and Lauren went with us. As far as I know, I don't reckon she ever spoke to anybody, did you? Except me and Sister Angie. We'd go to the door, and I'd do all the talking. Lauren, just stand there. We was walking down the road, and Angie is on one side of me, and Lauren was on the other. Angie says, they're going to see us coming and think we're Mormons. Well, we had a good time, didn't we? We had fun. Amen. Find some little something to do. I'm talking about some little things in the Bible tonight. They may have seemed insignificant to the man or the woman. It may have seemed insignificant. I can't say the word. Insignificant to the crowd around them. Won't you think about Moses in Exodus chapter number 4. Moses led God's children out of bondage in Egypt. If you'll remember right in your Bible, when God called Moses, he spoke to him out of a burning bush. You remember that? And God said, I want you to go down there to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him, I've seen the affliction of my people, I want you to tell him to let them go. And as soon as he asked Moses to do something, you know what Moses did? Started making excuses, got a list of them, about 5 or 6 excuses that Moses gave God. Finally he said, well, I can't even talk plain, I got a speech impediment. God said, who you think made that mouth? Who you think put them lips on your face?
Yeah.
He said, you got your brother Aaron, he can talk. I mean, God just shot down every excuse that he had. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, how big or how small, it doesn't matter. You start coming at God with excuses, and God will shoot them excuses down one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. Listen, I've tried to make excuses and can't. Anybody else? Well, Lord, I would, but ain't no billy goats around here. Too much butting going on. I'd love to be there, but we're all guilty. I work harder getting out of work than I do working. Hey, man, I used to spend 30 minutes tearing up the lawnmower when I was a kid so I wouldn't have to cut grass. Then I had to fix the lawnmower and cut grass. So I just made my job way bigger, amen. Moses leads the children of Israel out of bondage. He comes up to the Red Sea. He has Pharaoh's army behind him. He's got the Red Sea in front of him. It's a slaughter. I mean, they're fixing to be slaughtered. Moses said, what am I going to do? God said, what's that in your hand? A walking stick? Just a rod? Well, just lift that thing up. Moses turned around and looked at that people. Must have been pretty confident in what God said. Moses turned around and said, stand still. In our vernacular, it'd be, watch this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And whoom, that stick goes up in the air, and the Red Sea says, just part. But on Moses, that's a stick. Amen. That's better than Babe Ruth's bat right there. That's a stick, man. That Red Sea, that rod turned rivers into blood. That rod opened the Red Sea. That rod opened the rock at Horeb, and water came out. It wasn't much, but it was what he had. Wasn't much, but it was what he had. What you have to offer may not be much, but it's what you got. Listen, God knew your abilities and God knew your talents before he ever saved you. Do you understand that? If somebody were to ask me before I got saved, hey, preacher, or Eddie, you think maybe one day you'd preach? I'd say, no, not really. I could not even envision. I never sat in church and thought about, I'd like to do that. I was content sitting there and listening. Hollering amen at Brother Earl every now and then. I was fine with that. I didn't have no fantasies about preaching. Amen. Didn't have a clue. I mean, I'd look at myself and I'd say, man, I'm probably the most unqualified young man in this place. But God knew better. And God knows better about you. Am I in your way? Help yourself. Take two, they're free. Really, you might need another one. I hadn't been saved but a couple of weeks. I was standing at White Oak Springs on this side after church one night, almost at the back door, standing there talking to Brother Roger Cole. Frank Bird walked up, and he was the bus director at that time, and he said, Eddie, your mama's bus needs a driver. I said, I ain't never drove a bus. He said, you've drove tractors, you've drove trucks, you can drive a bus. I said, well, I ain't. I mean, I was just like Moses, but. I said, I ain't got no, back then it wasn't CDLs, it was class 3. I said, I don't have a class 3 license. He said, don't matter around here. He said, we got 4 or 5 deputies in the church. It don't matter, we'll break the law anyway. That's what he said. You know, we can't do that around here these days, but back then it was a little bit different, amen? He said, your mama needs a bus driver. And I got to thinking, you know, that ain't no great big job, but I can do that. Son, I fell in love with that job. Picking up them little old boys. I'll never forget that first Sunday. I got behind the wheel of that bus, that old steering wheel's about that big around, driving that thing down the road and shifting them gears. I'll never forget it. First house we got to, a little old boy, Brother Jason, about 4 years old, and his little sister come running out the door. Y'all know what I'm thinking. I could see me and Pam as a 4-year-old and my little sister as a baby getting on that bus with Brother Jay. Boy, and I got to thinking, this is a pretty big job. This is a pretty big job. How else would he get there? Had somebody not driven that old bus? You may think what it is that God wants you to do is a little bitty thing, but it's not. It's a big thing. Moses' rod was just a little stick, but with the power of God on it, it became the mighty rod of God. Amen. Hey, you may be a nothing or a nobody just like me, but with the power of God resting on your life, hey, you might become the mighty servant of God. Amen. I thought about David. I thought about David in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. He's just a boy. This was before he's king. This was before he defeated great armies. The children of Israel were in battle against the Philistines, and David goes to take his brother some lunch, and he gets there, and there stands that great giant Goliath in the valley, and he's defying the God of Israel, cursing the army of Israel and challenging them to send a man down that he may fight him. And David, this little old boy, walks up, and he said, "Man, what are y'all doing?" They said, "You see how big that sucker is? We ain't messing with him." David said, "Is there not a cause?" They tried to put Saul's armor on him. He said, I hadn't proven this. David had a little sling, like a slingshot. Not like that, but one of those that you spin around. Had a sling. He stopped in the brook and picked up five stones. Somebody said Goliath had four brothers. He was ready for all of them. That little old boy stepped off into that valley. All he had was a slingshot. Here's a giant somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 foot tall. They said they could have used his sword. Said it was the size of a weaver's beam. I'm talking about a sword that big. This dude was bad, man, trained in battle. David's nothing but a shepherd boy who keeps his daddy's sheep. He steps up to that giant, said, "This day, big boy, my God will deliver you into my hand." David didn't say, "I'm fixing to whoop you because one day I whooped a lion. And another day, I was watching my daddy's sheep, and I killed a bear." He didn't brag on himself, didn't say anything about David, his ability with a sling. He said, "God is fixing to deliver you into my hand." Little boy, little sling, big giant. Whoop, 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 whoop. He turned that thing loose, popped him right between the eyes. And that giant fell flat on his face. Brother Earl Hughes put it best, I think. He said, "Doesn't make sense. You get hit in the forehead with a rock and you fall forward." He said, "You get hit with a rock in the face, you're going that way." He said, what David didn't know was while his rock was flying through the air that way, the hand of God was coming behind Goliath this way. And about the time the rock met Goliath, God popped him in the back of the head. Just a little sling, just a little rock. Just a little rod, all but submitted and given to God. It became great and mighty thing. I don't know what you have to offer. God does. Listen, there was a cause. There was Israel's condition. Israel's condition. There was a call. There was a call from the enemy and a call from the Lord. Do you understand? We're getting a call from the enemy. You saw what some of these teenagers at the mall that look at them, they just look like freaks of nature and their lives are all messed up. You know what they're saying? Help. Help. Now I'm telling you, if we've been visiting these subdivisions the last couple of weeks, I've been amazed at the attitude of people. Something's changed. Something's changed. I've only had one guy say, "I'm not interested," and shut the door. Everybody's been so nice. I mean, yes, thank you for coming. I mean, just over and over and over. And I'm like, wow. One guy told us he'd pray for us. That was first week. He was on his porch with his granddaughter. He said, "We'll pray for y'all." I mean, man, it's just been a blessing. Man, there's a world out there. And they need to know what we know. There's a call. Man, we spend money getting these tracks made up, and they look sharp. Levi's doing an awesome job on that. Man, you could be a deaf mute and hand out a gospel track. You don't have to say anything. There was a cause for David. There was a call. Listen, and there was a cure. It worked. It worked. He walked off the battlefield that day with that giant's head in his hand. How about that? How would you like some victory in your life? Let me just ask you that question again. Hey, don't you think David felt pretty good? All them mighty soldiers standing up there with their knees knocking. And David said, "What's the matter, boys? You don't touch it?" They started writing songs about it. Are you listening? There was a cure. There's victory for you, too, if you just submit what you got to God. If you just give God what little thing it is He's asking for and do what little thing He wants you to do, you'd be amazed what God would do with you. You'd be absolutely amazed. I'll never forget the day I surrendered my life to Christ. Not the day I got saved, but the day I surrendered. I had no idea, Brother Shane. I had no idea. I didn't even know preach was in the equation, much less pastor, much less evangelism. I had no idea. None. I just said, whatever it is, God, I'll do it. I'm so glad I made that decision. Some of you are saved, but you've never submitted your life to God. You're running the show, not Him. You need to find you a place in your life, in your heart, where you say, okay, God, here it is. And the reason you won't do that is because you're afraid what it might be.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to promise you, it's going to be something you love.
Yeah.
It's going to be something you were made to do. Whether it's work in a Sunday school, the youth department, with the teens, or the children's church, junior church, any of that, whether it's in the carnival or the visitation or the bus ministry or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, you're going to like it. Amen. God's never asked me to do nothing I hadn't enjoyed. Every single time. Oh, I mean, I've had to go through trials and troubles just like everybody else. But I could never imagine myself preaching. I do it all the time. I love it. Amen. I was telling the guys on the way to the hospital tonight, I thought we might just do something fun. I said, I may just walk up the pulpit tonight and say, the first person that makes it to the pulpit with a 15-minute message, come on. And let some of these young guys preach a little bit. Man, but I got home about, I don't know, 4:30 somewhere in that neighborhood, stretched out across the couch for a minute, and there's something inside me saying, I want to preach. I got a thought. I got something. I love it. David, his stones were small, his sling was small, he was small. Everything he had was small. In comparison to the enemy, he was nothing. But he wasn't by himself. Moses' rod was small. I thought about in 1 Kings chapter number 17. You got the story about the widow who fed Elijah. Y'all remember that? There was a famine in the land, and the man of God comes to town, and Elijah tells this lady, he said, her husband's died. He says, hey, would you make me a meal? Make me a cake? She said, you don't understand, we've only got a little bit of meal in a cruse of oil. We got a little meal in a barrel in a cruse of oil. We're going to make a cake for us and eat it and die.
Yeah.
This is all we have. And Elijah said, okay, make me one first.
Amen.
Why didn't God send him to the baker's house? Why didn't God send him to where somebody had plenty? God sent him to somebody who had nothing. That's where the Lord sent him. Isn't that amazing? She dipped in that barrel, made that man of God a cake. She went back and dipped in that barrel. And she went back and dipped in that barrel. I don't believe that the barrel multiplied. Just my thought. I don't think she looked in there after she made him a cake and the barrel was full. I think it just stayed that same amount. It just didn't run out. It just kept lasting and lasting and lasting. My wife, we got home yesterday, and she's going straight to her mother's. And I told her, I said, you're not driving your car. It's falling apart and about to die, and I'm about ready to burn it. Anyway, I said, you're not driving that car. I said, I don't trust it. I don't want you going all the way to Rock Martin in that car. You take my truck. And she said, well, you got to go to that wedding. I said, Billerica is a whole lot closer than Rock Martin. You go in my truck. And I got in that car and I thought, my soul, I've never seen a gas hand that low. It's like the E was right here, the gas hand's right here. And that old Cadillac's got all them warning whistles. Bing, 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 bing. Low fuel, low fuel, low fuel, low fuel. Get gas, you idiot. Get gas. That gas tank was like that little widow's oil. I had to get to that wedding. I was putt-putting down my road. All the way up to the gas pump. I pulled up the pump and got out. The lady was pumping gas in front of me. She said, you about didn't make it. I said, I thank the Lord multiplying that gas back there a little bit. Amen. Amen. All she had was a little. Now, I'll be honest with you. If there was a famine in our land, and there is of sorts, a famine of this. If there was a famine in our land and all I had was enough food to feed my wife and my children one more time, And that's all I had. And some preacher that I'd never met came to my door and said, "Hey, fix me something to eat." I'd say, "No, you need to get on down the road. All we got's enough for one more meal." "Well, fix me one first." "Okay. You just wait right there." "Be back in a minute. Not hardly. See, that's our problem. Because when God asks something of us, even when it's little, we see impossibility. And we start reasoning just like she did, "Why, I really can't do this." Did she have a just cause to say, "I'm sorry. I've only got enough. Me and my son, we're going to eat this and that's it. We're going to die." I could have understood that. I'd have said, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I understand." And that's what I'd do. If I went and asked somebody to do something in the church, needed some help with this or some help with that, and I said, "Hey, can you do this or that?" And maybe I prayed about it and God put you on my heart, and I come to you and you said, "Preacher, you don't understand. I got this happening and that happening." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad Elijah believed God.
Amen.
Wonder how you'd feel if I come to ask you to do something, you gave me these impossible reasons that you couldn't. And I said, "Well, do this first. I understand you got obligations, you got this going on and that going on, but take care of this first." You'd think I was arrogant, wouldn't you? Well, bless God, preacher don't care nothing about me. Yes, I do. I want you to get a blessing like that lady did. Don't you think she was pretty charged up after he left town?
Yeah.
I bet she told all her neighbors. Y'all ain't going to believe it. Scared to tell it to people. They'll think I'm crazy. Fix me one first. And the surprising thing to me was what he said. But then even more surprising was what she said. Okay. We've got enough to make, let's put it in our vernacular. We got enough to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and my son a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And we're going to split a glass of tea and then we're going to curl up somewhere and die. This is all we have. Make me one first, and I like chunky peanut butter. Okay. Wow. Do you understand the attitude there? God says, "Hey, how about doing this? Well, blah, 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 blah. How about just okay? Abraham, hear my Lord. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him upon one of the mountains I'll tell him of, and offer him there for a burnt offering." Okay. I think it comes down to a trust issue. Don't you? I think it comes down to a trust issue. When we start making excuses, I think our problem is we just don't trust God.
Right.
Amen. We just don't trust God. Hadn't He done enough for us already that we ought to know we could trust Him? If God asks you to do something, He'll supply what you need to do it.
Amen.
Amen. I thought about Moses and his little rod, David and his little stones and his little sling. I thought about the widow and her little handful of meal. And I thought about the little maid in 2 Kings chapter number 5. Naaman was a great man. That's what the Bible said. It said he was a great man, but he was a leper. Done everything he knew to do to get rid of that leprosy. And there's a little maid. A nothing and nobody. It doesn't even record her name. All it says is little maid. There was a little maid that worked in the house and she said, "Hey, I know a preacher." And she's been being preached about for thousands of years. And we don't even know who she is. You know why? It doesn't matter. That lad with the multitude of fishes. All we know is a lad. Don't even say his name.
Amen.
Amen. All she did was say, "I know a preacher. I know a preacher who he's got the power of God on him, man. You need that man of God come pray for you." Just a little maid. She didn't know how to cure leprosy. She didn't have a clue what to do, but she knew a preacher. You say, preacher, I can't witness to people. I want to, and I just have a hard time. You have a preacher. I ain't the best one in the world, but I preach the gospel this morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Chances are, you bring them here, they'll hear what they need to hear.
Yes.
And maybe you'll get to come sit and kneel beside them while they're praying. Trust Christ as their Savior. You may be like that little maid. I don't know. They ask you Bible questions. I don't know. Come to church.
Yes.
Hear my preacher.
Amen.
Hey, brother, that's a pretty big job in my eyes. Most of you would not be here right now had somebody not taken the position of that little maid and said, hey, you need to come check our church out. I'm looking around the room in here, just about everybody that I know, you was invited here by some way. Brother Tommy, one of my deacons, as good a man as I know. What a blessing. Didn't Brother Jay invite you? Brother Rusty, Miss Stacy, she's gifted, got a voice like an angel, can flat out sing.
Amen.
Used to sing in bars, karaoke, redneck. We went to eat Mexican the other night, and little did I know, it's karaoke night. I've never seen anybody sing karaoke that could do it. I mean, it's always really, really bad. I told my wife, I said, that's what Stacy used to do. One day they stopped at a yard sale right down the street. They stopped at Brother Sanford and Sons. They met Brother Robbie and Miss Tabitha, and they invited them to church. Thank God they've been here. Marriage was falling apart. They've been here ever since. Somebody played the role of the little maid. I don't think Robbie went into great doctrinal issues. He just invited them to church. Amen. Hey, men, we invite people to go fishing. We invite people to go hunting. We invite people to watch a ball game. Well, let's take that thing up a notch. Let's invite somebody to come to church. Amen. Do you think that little maid made a difference in that king's life? I guarantee you he knew her name. Amen. That little maid. God could have used somebody else. Amen. This ought to encourage us just to let God use us, however small it may be. There was a little boy one time, young teenage boy, started going to Sunday school. And he missed one Sunday. Laid out, didn't go. Well, the next day, the Sunday school teacher knew that this young boy worked in a shoe store. And he went to the shoe store and found the boy in the back. His name was Dwight L. Moody. Just a teenage kid. You reckon that Sunday school teacher had any idea who that teenage boy who laid out of Sunday school was? He was a nothing and a nobody. Was kicked out of his own denomination. They didn't want him. How God mightily used him. Moses had a small rod. David had a small stone. The widow had a little handful of meal. The little maid just told the king about somebody who could help him. Listen, then I thought about in Mark chapter number 12. The Bible talked about the widow and her mite. Mite, that was monetary. The money. They were giving offerings and these people were giving their big shot offerings. And it's funny when people have money. And I don't want to be too negative here. But a lot of times they want to be bragged on.
Amen.
They want to give big donations, but they want something named after them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to throw rocks at people that do name stuff after. We call that building out yonder Brooks Hall. I'm about ashamed to now. The shape it's in, I hope Brother J.M. ain't looking from heaven going, boy, I hope that ain't all they thought of me. But I didn't do that because it was asked. I did that just in honor and memory of Brother J.M. Brooks.
Amen.
But they were giving these offerings, and this little widow gave a mite. I looked that up on my phone. It was about a quarter of a cent. A quarter of a cent. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? I don't know how many times I have been at the convenience store to get my wife a Diet Coke and pay for it with $2 bills, and they give me back all this change. I keep the silver stuff and put them pennies in that thing. Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that today. Yeah. I ain't doing that no more. I'm going to put them in these buckets. Amen. On Sunday night for these kids. Amen. What I'm trying to say is we think less of four times what she had.
You're right.
Amen. People just walk over pennies. It ain't nothing to us.
Yep.
It was something to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Out of all them offerings they were getting, Jesus didn't mention none of the others, but he made a big deal out of hers.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because she gave what she had. It wasn't the amount of the offering, but it was the attitude of the giver. We've got some of you who do not tithe because you think you can't. And the reason you think you can't is because you don't.
Amen.
Yeah, but I don't make but such and such, and that wouldn't go very far. It did for her.
Amen.
She gave a quarter of a cent. A quarter of a cent. That'd be like taking a pair of wire cutters and whacking a penny off, a corner of a penny off. Put that in the offering plate, Tom would go, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yes.
But Jesus made a big deal over her little offering.
Right.
I love that old song, little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
Labor not for wealth or fame. Amen. Little is much when God is in it.
Yes.
Hey, my tithes may not be as much as somebody else's, but they're mine. And I'm going to write the Lord that check before I write the power company theirs.
Amen.
Seems like all I do is pay power bill, water bill, car insurance, house insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get one paid. I ain't going to the mailbox for a couple of days because I know there's nothing in there.
Amen.
I'm serious heart attack. That just makes me mad. I thought, man, I just paid that.
Yeah.
Now I got to do it again. Amen. I give God His first. You know why I do? Because He let me pay them. I've been in a tight spot. Been pretty tight lately. Just be honest with you. But I'm giving God His.
Yes.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Yeah, but if I did that, I wouldn't be able to make it through the week. You're not anyway.
Amen.
If you think holding back your tithes is going to make a difference, you're wrong.
Amen.
You say, boy, you're preaching about money. No, I'm preaching about a blessing. I'm preaching about a blessing. Our offerings ought to be way bigger than what they are. And you're not hurting the church. You're hurting you worse than you are the church. Amen. Give what you got. If you make $100 a week, give God 10. My pastor, Brother Earl Partain, always said this, and I believe it because I saw it work in my own life. He said, you're not going to get to keep it. If you don't give it to God, the Maytag man will get it.
Amen.
Or the transmission man will get it.
Yes, sir.
Or the heating and air guy will get it. You're not going to keep it. And he is exactly right. Before I started giving God what was already rightfully His, man, it seemed like I'm talking about it was bad. I was a licensed plumber and made good money. I did side jobs every single night and made even better money. And we is broke.
Yeah.
I told my wife one time, and she figured the bills in. I said, why am I doing all this? Why am I working so hard if it ain't making a difference? And it wasn't. It didn't add up. We should be able to afford to live. I was over at Roger Cole's house one night. He's in heaven now. We is getting stuff ready. We was out in his barn getting stuff ready for a fishing tournament the next day. And he said, let me ask you something. He was kind of like my spiritual daddy. He said, you been tithing? I said, well, I'll give an offering. He said, I didn't ask you that. He said, I ask you if you've been tithing. He said, how much did you put in the plate Sunday? I said, $5. He said, how much did you make last week? I said, about $800. He said, you put $5 in the plate. He said, I ought to kick your tail right now. That's what he said. He said, you don't think no more of God than that? He said, you give me $100 to pay on this entry fee for this bass fishing tournament. And you give God $5. He put down the stuff. He was putting line on the reel. And he just set that thing down. He said, sit down here and let's talk. He got his Bible and taught me about tithing. I'd heard it preached, heard preacher hit on it, but I never had really looked at it that way. That next Sunday morning rolled around, I didn't reach from a billfold to grab the checkbook. I wrote that check, $80, whatever. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, we're going to tithe. She said, it's about stinking time. She put a $20 bill in there one time, I snatched it out. I was about to make change in the offering plate, Jack. What old Foxworthy said, you might be a redneck if you've made change in the offering plate. Amen. Listen, I don't know what it is God's blessed you with, but you better give back to Him what's His. What's a tithe? It's a tenth. It's 10%. Brother Freddie said one time as an old drunk got saved, come to church, preacher's talking about giving a tenth. Said the old drunk come in and said, preacher, I ain't got a tenth, but I got 2/5 under the seat. Amen. Moses' rod was small. David and his stones were small. The widow's little handful of meal was small. The little maid was small. The widow's mite was small. Then lastly, I'm done. The lad where Jesus fed the 5,000. Even his own disciples who had watched him do great and mighty things. It's 5,000 plus women and children. And they said, Lord, we got to send this crowd away. It's time to eat, and we're in this desert place. And the Lord asked them a question, said, what are we going to do? And the Bible said he knew in his heart already. Philip come and said, there's a lad here with a small lunch. But what is it amongst so many? 5 loaves and 2 small fishes? We got 5,000 people here besides women and children. Remember what Jesus said? Bring it to me. Yeah, but God, we even open this in front of all these people, it's going to start a fight. That would have been, I would hate to go out in that fellowship hall and I'd say, all right, everybody, we're going to go out in the fellowship hall and eat. And we got out there and there's one bowl of banana pudding. I ain't even going through the door. Not with you. It'd be on, man. Remember them scenes on TV where all the kids are sitting around the table, all them boys, and there's one chicken leg laying there, and they all looking at it. That's, what is this among? They said, what is it again among so many? We can't do anything. That's what we do. We look at what we have and say, it ain't going to make a difference. This, I'm fixing to take up a love offering a minute to help a family in our church. And you're thinking, this dollar ain't going to help. I bet you the person receiving it's got a different idea than you do. Jesus' little lunch turned into a buffet table in the middle of the desert. When he got done with it, there's 12 baskets left over. No matter how little it may seem to you, whether it be your talent, whatever it is God's asking you to do, whether it be your money, or even your time, God can take what you have and make much out of it. Much out of it. Listen, that Tuesday night thing, 1 hour. We quit at 7 o'clock. We was done, I think, a few minutes before last week, wasn't we? Right at it. Right, and it's starting to get cool at night. I was a little chilly. Well, till we started climbing all them steps and I warmed right up, amen? But seriously, that's an hour. It's an hour out of 24. That ain't a whole lot. Not a whole lot at all. Whether it's your talent, your time, your tithes, your money, whatever it is, just let God have it. Some of you, we need some men in that choir. Some of you, I bet you sing in your pickup truck. I bet when old George Strait comes on, you sing. Huh? Say amen or oh me, bunch of jacklegs. Won't you let God have it? Some of you like me, you got a mouth and you like to talk. When I was in school, I got it on my, I never got a, what is that, conduct, never, always bad. Eddie can't stop talking. Eddie can't stay in his seat. Sound like anybody else we know? Little did I know that was something God was going to use. Then it looked like it was a bad character. Who knew? I told God, I said, God, I ain't got nothing but I got a mouth. And I take that to my mama. I can run it. So I've been running it for Jesus for about 25 years. And I think I'm just going to keep running it. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Now listen, all of y'all, you think I've always been like this. No, some of you know way better. Is it amazing? Stacy's been around here about 3 or 4 years now, and he tells me all the time, I still can't believe it. It's really me. With God living inside me. And I ain't saying I'm nothing, but boy, it's just amazing. You'd be amazed what God do with you. Some of you, and I'm done preaching, some of you go sit in Brother Freddie's Sunday school class, and I hear it all the time. People who'll come and never been before. Stoney, you came this morning, didn't you? That blow your mind. You ever heard anything like that? I'm telling you, man, it's amazing. People go, wow, I can't believe that guy, man. He is sharp. He knows that Bible, blah, blah, blah. I wish he still had his old driver's license. He wore parachute pants. Had hair, I mean long hair. He looked like Cousin Hit, man. Played in a rock band. You know what he did one day? He said, okay, Lord. First time he heard the gospel, he got saved. Amen. Went off to Bible school. Now he's the best Bible teacher I've ever heard in my life. I bet you could go over to Alabama tonight, over where he went to high school, and look up some of them old buddies and said, would you have a thought? If Freddie Young would be standing out by McDonald's on Sunday afternoon with a sign with scripture on it preaching, there'd probably be some that'd see him and go, no, that can't be. Oh, that ain't Young. No, ain't no way. He must be high as a kite. Ain't it? Ain't it the truth, man? But you know what? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. And I don't know. There's a crown and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name. Little is much. Little is much. Give God what you got. Give God what you got. Old Brother Dwayne's having to work now. He might need some help with these buses. Some of you probably got a set of Craftsman wrenches at the house and could help work on a bus. Man, what a blessing. Old Dwayne told me one day, he said, Brother Eddie, and y'all don't know how much he does. You know what he does? Anything I ask him to do. Anything. Sometimes he goes over and beyond. I have to say, whoa, that's enough. What a blessing, man. Does anything I ask. You know what he said one day? He come in, a bus had broke down. He went and got it. This is when he first started working on it. And he come, got the spare bus, and he went and picked them kids up, and he brought them back to church. Had grease all over him. I was standing out there at my truck before I left. Dwayne standing, come walking up, big old tears running down his face. He said, little boy off that bus got saved this morning. He said, I was fussing about having to get greasy, and he said, hallelujah. He said, I'll do this every week. Yeah, I said, Dwayne, that little boy wouldn't have got here today if it hadn't been for you. Nobody saw him out there laying on the wet ground. Nobody knew it. I'm going to tell you somebody who did. The Lord did. I couldn't help but wonder if the Lord said, I'm going to get double glory today. I'm going to save that boy for me, for my glory, and I'm going to save him for him, and I'm going to save him for that greasy mechanic. You never know. Bus workers, you had never know who you're hauling on that bus. When Brother Jay was picking me up, I guarantee you he never thought that boy would probably be my pastor one day. He'd probably preach my funeral. I guarantee you he never thought that. Never crossed his mind. He's loved me. I know pride's a sin. Probably nobody ever prouder of me than what God was doing in my life other than my mama and Brother Jay Bice. You know why? He knew in his heart he had part, a big part. And God's led us to a place where we can have a part. Find out what your part is. And you don't know what you're missing. Little as much when God is in it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come. Sing a verse if you want to. If you need to come to the altar and ask God what it is. Lord, what is it? What is my part? However little, however big, God, that's what I'm willing to do. Somebody ought to just surrender their life tonight and say, God, here I am. Whatever you can do with me, if you can get glory out of my life, help yourself. Just show me what it is. Just mind the Lord tonight. Sing a verse if you got one, Brother Todd. Oh, Stacy's coming. Morgan's. Oh, amen.